Ramping up your business? The time is near. You've given it heart. Now get it in gear. It's Passage to Profit with Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
I am Kenya Gibson filling in for Richard Gearhart.
I'm Elizabeth Gearhart. I do marketing for Gearhart Law and I have my own startups. Our next presenter is an amazing young man. I met at a wedding. We started talking. We were both standing outside to get away from loud music. And when he told me all the things he's done with his life so far, I was just blown away. I'm like, you are a serial entrepreneur. You're just like a sponge for knowledge. So I invited him to be on the show. So he's got a few things he can talk about. His name is Mike Harvey, and you can find him on Facebook. So, Mike, tell us about what you're doing.
Yes, thank you so much for having me, first and foremost. Yeah, my name's Mike Harvey. I'm from Indianapolis, Indiana. I'm a real estate investor. I run a construction company. I'm an Army veteran and also a respiratory therapist, which is like a whole other thing that we could talk about. But Liz kind of took interest in me because I had told her the story of the first business that I started in college. It was around 2013. I was 19 years old. And I remember a long time ago when I was like 12 thinking like, why doesn't McDonald's deliver food? Or like, why doesn't Taco Bell deliver food or anything? So later in college, it was around the time that Square started becoming really popular, you know, the little mobile swipe thing. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is a feasible thing now. I can take credit card payments from people and run around and deliver food for people. So what I did, I developed a little business plan, went to the library at the university, unbeknownst to them, and I printed off 2,000 copies of the flyers that I had made. I had a graphic designer friend, and she made these awesome flyers that basically outlined what I was doing and how I was going to do it and places we delivered and how to contact me. And what I did, I went to every single on-campus housing that we had, apartments, dorms, and I just slid those flyers, like 1,000 of them. I spent the entire day doing it, and it was almost an immediate blow-up. I got calls right away. I was so busy, and I had these crazy hours, too. I was working it from like 5 p.m. to 3 a.m., but I was like 19. I was like, whatever, I can do it. So I ended up hiring a couple guys to help me spread out the load a little bit, and it was working really great. So it was a couple years later, I took it to a startup competition at the business school that I had attended. It was more or less like Shark Tank, and you get in front of a big panel of judges. The winner gets a lump sum of money. They pair you up with an entrepreneur, a successful entrepreneur in the area to kind of be your mentor, and they give you a team, you know. So I made it to the top 10, and then I got disqualified because I had a business that was already up and running. So that was unfortunate. But, you know, they wanted to start your business here and work it from the ground up, go get your first sale, and then you win, more or less. And I met a guy, I was approached by a guy who wanted to buy the business from me. And I like to think now that maybe he's like the founder and CEO of DoorDash or something, because he's not. But that's what makes me feel better, because I checked, the market cap of DoorDash this morning. It was $51 billion. Yeah. But he offered me enough money at the time. I was a pretty broke college kid that it was going to pay for over a year rent. And I was like, okay, say less. I'm in. And that was the story, kind of my first business. It was called Pickups Delivery.
That was brilliant. Now you flip houses, right? Are you still flipping houses?
I probably never stopped doing that. But that's going to probably be a constant in my life. I'm always looking for a deal, but they're so hard to find now.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's in the game. Everybody thinks they're two chicks and a hammer, or watch the HGTV and think they can do it themselves. Which, you know, more credit to him. That's kind of how I got interested in it, too, if I'm being realistic. But I haven't flipped the house in a while. I've done a few, and I've had great success with it. And that's kind of what segued me into my current business, which is just residential construction contracting. I grew up alongside my father, who was a contractor. And, you know, he worked me like a dog. And at the time, I hated it. And, you know, I was so resentful and angry as a kid. Like, oh, why are you making me do this? He paid me, for the record. He wasn't like forcing me to do these things. But I was the kid climbing up the ladders, carrying these bundles of shingles that weigh like 80 pounds and just sweating in 90 degree heat. Awful stuff at the time. But I'm so, so thankful that he made me do these things, because now I'm not going to call a contractor. I'll call a roofing contractor. I'm probably never getting back on a roof. That was awful. But, you know, if I need to remodel a bathroom, like, yeah, say less. I'll do it. After I had flipped a couple of those houses that I had got, it kind of gave me the confidence to go out and do it on my own. I remember showing somebody at the hospital, respiratory therapy, like a before and after of one of the houses I did. And they're like, Mike, this is awesome. Like, you should do this for people.
Yeah.
And I was like, I guess. Okay, I'll give it a shot. And I ended up getting my first client from the hospital. And it kind of just took off from there. It was more or less word of mouth. I do something I call guerrilla marketing. For example, when I have a neighbor down the street from me, and I just notice a piece of their siding hanging from their side of the house for like months and months and months. And so I just knocked on the door and I was like, hey, my name's Mike. I'm your neighbor. I've noticed your siding's down. I'll fix it for you for free and just give them a business card. Uh-huh. You know, stuff like that. Being at Lowe's, mm-hmm. picking up materials for my next job, seeing a woman picking up a tool that just sucks. And I'm like, you shouldn't use that here. You should try this. Here's a business card. And, you know, I made relationships that way. That's with those smart. People.
Well, one other thing I find interesting about you is you're not done finding new vocations yet.
No, I'm not. So one of the problems that I've ran into with contracting is that I do too much. So like today I'm building a deck. Tomorrow I'm ripping your bathroom apart and repairing it. Next day I'm painting. And for some people that works, I guess. But for me, I'm finding it's really, really hard to find guys and gals that know how to do it all. So I decided a few months back I was going to own in on just a skill, put the business on hold, and just go to plumbing school. Which is like a twist, a fork in the road. All my friends were like, what are you doing? I'm like, I don't even know, dude. Whatever. We'll figure it out. So I went to plumbing school. I did it for like 3 months. And I quickly realized that, no, I'm not going to be a plumber. This is not the job for me. So at the moment, I'm, you know, kind of just back at the hospital. I'm part-time. And I'm still doing the construction thing. Yeah. Here and there. Just doing odds and ends for people.
That's good. So we're in the home contracting business. My husband is a residential, renovator. And we've been doing that for... God, it's been 20, Naya is 19, so at least 20 years, right?
Oh, you've been doing it a while.
A long time, you know, and we're like solopreneurs. Like my husband was the one doing all the work for a long, long time. A lot of it is still under him just because he's so meticulous and picky about like his work and like not like giving it to people who are going to do a crappy job. But we've been fortunate in that we're like finally starting to scale a little bit and like things are getting better. But yeah, it's not the easiest business to be in, but no. It can be lucrative, right? If you hit the right sweet spot.
Yeah, I feel like I've had some pretty good success. I've had a couple home runs. I've had some losses.
Yep.
To your point, though, I'm sure that you understand that finding help in that particular industry, guys that you can trust,
yeah.
I'm going into your home. I can't have somebody. It has to be somebody I've vetted and someone that mm-hmm. I know well because... That's my name.
Mm-hmm.
It's even if you do the work, it's still my name.
Yeah.
And I don't let that happen.
And most of it, to your point with the guerrilla marketing, we built it word of mouth, right? We haven't done any advertising yet, which we want to advertise. But I'm like, I feel like we need to staff a little bit more because once the work starts coming, it's like it's hard to keep up with it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It becomes a big snowball. So
yeah,
staying on top of it. You got clients waiting. You're like, well, next week.
Right. And they're like, no, okay, next month.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, my girlfriend in Hilton had to wait like a year to get someone to redo her bathroom. So mm-hmm. I mean, it's crazy. So it is, if you know how to do that stuff and like it, it's a good place to be. But you also have real estate investments. It kind of all rolls together, right? So
yeah.
You have that passive income. Well, sort of passive income. I don't know if real estate's truly passive because you have to take care of it, right?
I wouldn't call it completely passive, but it's passive enough for me to keep pursuing it. And I don't think I'll ever stop doing it. I will say that rental income has changed my life, and it's been fantastic. I have great tenants. One day I'm sure I will get a bad tenant, and then I might think differently. But until then, I love it.
My mindset is not there yet. Elizabeth and Richard have tenants. My husband wants to get into rental so bad. And I'm like, I just don't want to deal with people and take my, like, I just don't.
You know, if you get the right people, it's okay, right?
It's a scary thing, but a lot of people will just pass it off to a property manager and that's their whole gig is like vetting tenants and whatnot. But I'm a little bit more personable. Like, mm-hmm. I kind of need to know, like, I need to sit across from you. My last tenant that I just placed last week, I took them out to lunch and I was like, let's just chit chat.
You know,
which is unusual, I think.
Your landlord
wants to do it. Yeah.
That's a show, Lunch with the Landlord.
Oh, is it?
There's your podcast.
Oh, yes. That's not a bad idea.
Yeah, Beth, what do you think, Beth?
I love it. It's your new podcast.
Yeah.
So I did more or less an interview with them, and I think they were a little uncomfortable, but whatever.
So, Mike, you started, you're a young man, you're going to college, you sell a business, you're a respiratory therapist now, you're doing all this construction work. How did you get into actually buying houses that you would use as rentals, and can anybody do it?
I think anybody can do it. It certainly helps to have a background the way that I kind of did growing up. Just being kind of handy really, really helps. I don't know that I would recommend it for everybody. Sometimes it's not for the faint of heart. Mm. You tear apart a house, and then you're like, okay, I have a lot of work to do. And it can be overwhelming on occasion. You'll look at bare studs in a room, and you're like, where do I start? You just kind of have to be knowledgeable yourself or mm-hmm. have a contractor that you trust.
Yeah.
Right.
That's, you make a great point, because sometimes when my husband's on a project, like I come at the end, like, to, and I see when it's kind of done, or I'll like be on like cleanup crew or whatever. And I'm like, I don't know, this place like did not look like this, but I would be so overwhelmed if once a wall's open, I'm like, oh my God, that wall's open. So I get the mindset that has to go behind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This okay. is a lot of persistence most of the time.
I guess I get to tell this story then. Mm-hmm. So Richard and I are remodeling our upstairs in the law firm to be a podcast studio. So we have different rooms. I wanted to just spray paint the really gross ceiling tiles. He wanted to replace them. So we were doing the work ourselves. I was actually like hauling ceiling tiles around and trying to get up on a ladder. And they have these little dividers that go between them. So we got these little covers so everything could go to black and from like this ugly brown color from years ago. So I was actually doing the physical work, and I'm finally like, you know what? I'm not doing this anymore. We got to hire somebody to do this. So Richard kept doing it, and then it just got to be too much. So we did actually find somebody on one of these gig sites to help us do it. But, you know, it's still not done, and it's going to be a while before it's done. So my fear has always been, and luckily this didn't really happen this time, although we had to go to the city. So that's the other thing, is you have to know the city regulations for this. My fear has always been, like, especially with a house, like you were just saying, if you open something up, like, what are you going to find?
You never know.
Yeah.
That you never knew was there. Like, oh, like those shows, oh, the foundation's cracked right here. It's like, what?
Which is a huge deal.
Yeah. I think having rentals, I mean, you first of all, you have to have a lot of money for the down payment, right? If you're just going to buy a house to use it as an investment rental, so you need to save up your money and have enough so that you can put down a reasonable down payment.
I think it would be wise to do so. Have some cushion for yourself. And I think it really depends a lot on your risk profile. You know, for me, I don't have kids. I'm not married. So my risk is like kind of high. And thankfully, I have my job to fall back on as a respiratory therapist. Mm-hmm, I'm licensed and, you know, all that. So I kind of have nothing to lose. I can always just go back to the hospital and it'll be fine.
Right.
But yeah, if you don't have that, then...
It's a big risk. It's a big walk of faith. I mean, we went into business full time for ourselves after COVID. Actually, during COVID, my husband left his full time job that he was at for 20 years. And we were like, okay, like, we got to do this, right? So it's a walk of faith, but, you know, it helps when you have some income.
Security blanket.
Yeah, security blanket.
I do.
Health insurance, benefits.
Yeah.
And you're not out there rogue.
So I feel like, and Beth, I'm going to ask you this. I feel like media could really help Mike's business if he wants to expand it.
Oh, to become the face of residential construction in Indiana? 100%.
How does he do that?
Yeah. Well, he's got such a, well, he's adorable. Like, look
I
at
know,
him,
right?
And he's also got such a great, like, voice.
I know, right?
Like a good radio voice. So it's really just about creating a plan and an intention and executing it. It's, you know, and understanding. Like, I love the fact that you're on Facebook because that's where your clients are.
Right.
Right. A little bit on Instagram probably, but they're mostly probably on Facebook because they can pay you. They have the income to pay you. They're a little bit older. So I think you really understand your client. So it's now it's understanding where they're looking for you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like you said, like I love that guerrilla marketing stuff. Like that's so my background in doing
it's kind
that
of
kind
fun,
of stuff.
Honestly.
Right. It is. It's making relationships.
Yeah.
But what can you sponsor? What can you be in front of? But being that guy who's a monthly guest on the local TV station that's showing people how to fix the window or how to do weather stripping for winter or how to make sure your kid is secure in his dorm room at college, like those little things that you can do so they can see who you are and then be like, you know what? I have a bathroom because I've had that conversation before.
Yeah. Or highlight renovations from hell.
Yeah.
That's a show too.
So briefly, when I was flipping one of my homes, I did sort of start a pseudo channel on Instagram and everybody loved it. It would be me like in a crawl space with a saw, like hating my life. And you know,
oh,
I think I would
should.
Do that over again. I want to start a season two on my next.
Yes.
If you need help, Beth is sitting right next
to
you.
We're going to talk. Don't you worry.
Yeah.
So
season two coming soon.
So what's your Facebook page?
It's just Mike Harvey. My construction page is Indy Home Improvement LLC.
Okay.
I-N-D-Y.
So, I-N-D-Y. Passage to Profit, in case you didn't know, is a nationally syndicated radio show. I think we're in over 30 stations now.
38.
Wow.
38 affiliates.
Yeah, we've been adding and we love our affiliates. We talked to some of our station managers, Richard and I did. We talked to Portland. We talked to Atlanta. Mm-hmm. We talked to Boston. And really great feedback from those guys. Thank you.
The show airs every single day almost in different time slots across the country.
We're really getting out there. And I want to thank the Passage to Profit team. our producer, Noah Fleischman, who has his own podcast, our program coordinator, Alicia Morrissey, and Risi Kat Busari. This is also a podcast. If you want to hear something again or missed it, look for our podcast tomorrow, anywhere you get your podcasts. And we are in top 3% of podcasts globally, according to Listen Notes. And we've also recently been selected by FeedSpot Podcasters Database as a top 10 entrepreneur interview podcast. So that means if you want to come on a podcast or radio show and be interviewed, we're one of the best ones. So come talk to us. And you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, X, and YouTube. And for all of your patent, trademark, and copyright needs, Gearheart Law offers free consultations. Contact us at gearheartlaw.com. While the information provided during this program is believed to be correct, never take a legal step without first checking with your legal professional. We will see you next time on Passage to Profit.